Hello and welcome again to Spiritual Not Religious. Today's show is one I've been excited to share because it is with Leslie Atkinson, a business consultant, successful entrepreneur, dirt biker, adventure traveler, and also someone who has really brought a rich exploration of spirituality into all the different aspects of her life. And it's just a great interview. That being said, I want to forewarn you that there is a bit of technical glitchery that does happen in it. There's some glitches. This interview was done remotely, so there are times when it can sound like she and I are talking at the same time here and there, or that I'm talking over her, asking her a question about something different than what she was just talking about. It's a little glitchy at a couple of spots, but I hope that you'll be patient with it because I am still learning to navigate this technology. And I just think it's got some good info in it and it's really worth listening to. So please be patient with the spots that are a little whack. And here's the show. And today I'm especially excited because Leslie Atkinson is here to talk about her own journey and the tension between living in what we think is the conventional world and its expectations, and then also having a strong impulse to the metaphysical and alternatively spiritual, as we sometimes call it. So thank you so much. Welcome, Leslie.
Well, I am so happy and grateful to be here. So thank you.
Cool. So I want to just say, I'm going to talk a little bit about Leslie for a moment, and then I'll be interested in you talking a bit about yourself as well. Leslie is in her sort of regular day job, a continuous improvement expert, and has been a trainer and change leader for companies in the quality management area for growth manufacturing, agriculture, environmental, energy, and nuclear companies. She's very successful in what we call the conventional kind of world. And so, Leslie, at a certain point, you were drawn to, among other things, I know that you were drawn to learning to read Akashic records. So a little bit about that journey from being very successful in a very high stress and in many ways male dominated world of quality assurance, and then what it was that inspired you to explore more deeply into things like Akashic records.
Absolutely. I think it's never just one thing. I think all along my journey, I dabbled in my research on social media and Facebook, internet, and I'd found lots of different coaches and affirmations and various things. And so I dabble with those. And along the way, the conventional job or career or being an entrepreneur and consultant, that just didn't feel as fulfilling anymore, like something was missing. And kind of went on a spiral of a search that at the time felt endless. And during that time, I had taken quite a few courses and actually went into a group to learn about manifesting and, of all things, magic. And at that moment, it was feeling really edgy to start using the word magic in my household. So during that journey, I actually I knew initially that most of my life I'd always been the tomboy. I'd been in the definitely male-dominated engineering industry, nuclear industry, and I started also searching for connecting more with my feminine side. And I got involved in a lot of local things as well, such as the local Goddess Festival. I know the first time that I went, my husband and son teased me just because of the name alone, and my friends made fun of it. And I even skipped a dirt biking event just to go to it. And each of those things felt a little bit edgy and a lot of uncertainty. But as I did more and more things, I actually found those that resonated with myself and things that didn't feel so. And I laugh in saying that word because my husband came up with a phrase eventually when I was learning manifesting magic, and he called it, "Are you doing that witchy, witchy woo thing?" So witchy, witchy woo went from hiding in a home office to finally being in a corporate environment where I actually shared some of those things. But nowhere along the way had I heard of Akashic records or the Akashic field. But during one of those coaching sessions, a person mentioned their mentor, and basically I started a certification training, and eventually within a pretty short period of time, Akashic reading consultant. So that's a little bit about it, or exactly what all you'd like to know and where you'd like to go.
Hi, we'll be back with more of my interview with Leslie Atkinson in just a moment.
I'm back.
Hi, Leslie. So we before the break, we were talking about the magic and manifestation group. Women's, mostly women, you said, were involved group. And I'm really interested in hearing more about that. What was that like?
Well, it was definitely transformative because I started with something really simple, Louise Hay's Heal Your Body Affirmations. And that was really easy because a coworker handed me a book and said, yeah, when you have a pain in your body, you just look this up and there's an affirmation. And I can tell you that I didn't fully understand the value of that at first, and now it's something that's a reference tool in my library all the time and when I recommend. But I evolved to something much bigger. It was a 8-week in-depth group program with Elizabeth Purvis, and it was called Be a Money Magnet. And it really dove in to a much deeper level and asking you to, you know, dive within. And I was working with a lot of high-level entrepreneurs, and I was really inspired by and did what a lot of people did, success to my own and not feeling that I was. So it took me a while to find my own place and space. But during that program, I might have told you earlier, I found the Akashic Record training, and I started off with the level one training with Elizabeth. And it was really good because you do it all basically over the phone, and you get, during the exercises, you separate with partners and you're on the phone, but you actually do readings with each other. And at first it's really easy to be in your ego mind and start thinking that you're making all this stuff up, or is what this person telling me true? And you kind of panic, and I could see that was true for a lot of people in the, at least the level one class. You have a lot of doubts, and you let ego kick you out of your truth. But something about it felt so right, because whenever you're in this space and you let that monkey mind stop chattering and you just share the message that you heard or saw, because everybody receives it differently. You know, some people it's truly audible, others and they actually have an awareness. Some people have it through various mediums, and some people's guides or ancestors or ascended masters talk directly to them. It's really a little different for everybody. But what I started realizing was when you could really pay attention and let go of the ego monkey mind, the critter brain thinking, suddenly There was so much truth and simplicity in what was being shared and clarity. And oftentimes, a message I might get in that moment I would get symbolism and other affirmations in life all around it that helped me support and see that the message was really for me and clear. And I learned a couple of key things. One was, you are not special or unique because you can do Akashic readings. Actually, anyone and everyone can do it. Mm-hmm. And many of us may be naturally doing it already. We just may not have labeled it as such. And that was my biggest aha and discovery. And what I loved about that is I didn't really see myself as someone who would, you know, have a career just doing readings for people. You know, it's just not how I envisioned myself. And it actually gave me an avenue to look at a little differently. I started using it more as a tool for those who did come to me for guidance. And I would offer it as one of many possibilities. But more times than not, I would encourage people that they actually had all the same power and gifts and tools I did. We just all received them and translated them a little differently, or at least that was my take on it. So Akashic reading is something that I do offer, but it's not something that's, you know, part of my, you know, schedule every week by any means, but I'm open to it obviously being more of it. It's just not my main focus, because I still do my consulting work and I have so many other interests of exploring the world and going on adventures. But what I love is at any moment, at any given time, I can create that sacred space, tap into all that is, and really connect with my own truth, but the universal truth that we're all connected. And this was really shown to me on a trip I did recently. I don't know if you know a lot about this, Tracy, but I went for a kind of like a women's transformational trip.
Oh, I heard about it.
A little over 3 weeks in New Zealand. I actually... No. But Sammy's who introduced it to me. As a matter of fact, what's so neat is one of Sammy's special gifts, Sammy Tucker, is she's able to connect people, you know, just at the right time and the right moment, you know. So anytime I want to get connected to something, that's...
And for our listeners that don't know, Sammy Tucker is a coach and consultant and inspirational speaker and just general epic chick. We do agree. Can we just leave it at that? She's just a general epic chick. S-A-M-I.
Just a powerhouse. Tucker, yeah.
If you're
So she introduced me to this thing, and it's called Awakening Giants TV. And I was part of a positive reality TV show.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
And first I just go, what? Yes. And then what we did on that TV show, that's all related, I'm headed there, is we actually, not only did we travel to another country and see beautiful sights, we were able to each present at the University of Auckland. We actually did service work and raised over $20,000 for the wetlands in the area. And we spent about 6 or 7 days on the Marae. We actually got to know and learn the culture of an indigenous tribe. And that was the most amazing moment, where my Akashic reading like came full circle in a way that I didn't fully understand. We each got time with Papa, and when I was sitting with Papa,
was he the holy man?
I suddenly realized the truth of my... Yes. He's the chief of that local tribe, and he has actually studied as, I believe it's a Buddhist monk. So he's actually also integrated different beliefs and different spiritual paths. So that was really interesting to see someone living that truth and showing you that it was possible. And we each got one-on-one time. And whenever I got my time with him, there's a certain way it feels when I'm in working with my records. And I felt that moment. It's a real calming, peaceful moment. And for myself, inside of me, I always feel like I'm doing a small, maybe like a spiral around a center. And I love the idea of that, because it's like I'm being centered to my truth. and I shared a story from my childhood. And it was in that moment that I fully realized that even in that very exact story, I went from being a victim of a playful accident with my brother on motorcycles, no less, to being empowered as it being one of the most important stories of my life. And it just touched me so deeply because I felt like I was in my records at that moment. I felt like there was an imprint that was left in it in just this so like joyous, peaceful way. And it really gave me an insight that I believe you're the first I've shared this with. I'm actually gonna get all giddy here. I can just feel it. It gave me an insight that we've always heard people say that, you know, you write your own story, but I believe now that that's part of what you can do with your Akashic records is there's an energetic field and you actually can impress your desires upon that field and make them so.
Yeah.
And some people call that manifesting. So I learned a lot about manifesting and magic, and it just seemed like I finally started seeing in that moment all of these things were true, all of them were connected to each other, and they were all amplified by putting them together.
I love that. I love the way you just said that they're amplified by putting them all together. I think that's absolutely true. And if I could,
that's exactly how it feels.
What kind of, if I could just kind of speak a little bit first, I want to honor that story. And I don't want to skip past honoring that. That's really amazing. And I also want to kind of my take on that, what you said about the way they're amplified by bringing together. I think to me, part of what I make sense of with that is that, you know, every little shard of truth is, you know, it is 100, it contains all of the truth within it, but it's really just like every little shard of truth contains all of the truth. But if you put all of the shards together, then they're no longer shards. They're actually the whole. But the shards in and of themselves, beautiful. You know, it's just that what happens is that like when people get attached to one way of believing about things, like there's only one way to do things spiritually, as it were. What happens is that, you know, then their shard loses power. It's like the shard of the truth is only powerful if you realize that it's a shard. But once you imagine that it is the all that is, then you exclude it from the all that is.
No, I get it. Like on a whole, like feel you way. That's one of the things I love about not only interacting with you, Tracy, but reading your books. You have a way of wording things much more clearly than I can say them. I always feel like you speak.
I'm grateful to hear you say that.
So I appreciate that.
But it's mutual. I mean, I feel the same way when I hear you talk about things. So there you go. Again, because we're both shards. Because we're both shards.
Well, that's why we all have a voice.
That's right. Yeah.
And together we amplify.
Yeah, and that's been coming up for me lately a lot too. Is running across people who are reading things that are about the thing that I was thinking or talking about, and then finding it like, oh my god, that's like exactly what I was trying to say, only just better.
And that happens to me all the time.
Yeah,
and
but then you can use that as a reference point, and then you can like grow from there. So they actually just elevate.
Yeah, and it also, what happens with that for me too is then when they elevate it, then it also expands my understanding. So this is an interesting little thing. if I may, that I've also noticed about myself lately and about humans, is that what happens, sure, what glitches us when we do notice that, like for me, like when I notice that, like I just say something and I'm like, okay, that seems like I've really said a new thing. And then of course, 20 minutes later, I run across the exact same thing that's like from 50 years ago and is way more profound, right? what that does for me, what I could do is I could glitch on that and say, oh, well then what I said isn't very important, right? But yeah, well, you and I have talked about that lots of times.
We've all done that too,
but the thing is that because we are all one mind, it makes sense that we're all going to be talking at some point about the same things. Those of us who are kind of aligned in the same cosmic neural pathways, you know, and I'm shifting that rather than thinking, oh, then it's not important what I did, to saying, no, it's just, I just am adding to the conversation, and it is a conversation, and my voice in the conversation is helpful also.
Absolutely. And I sometimes look at it as like a confirmation of the truth when I can see,
right,
when it keeps showing
and
up.
It's
in
a
so
funny
many places.
Thing, isn't it? That we want to think that we invented the truth.
or funnier to think that we have to invent something new every time.
Yeah, it is. It's like as if I want to get credit for inventing reality. anyway.
Well, my new favorite phrase in my repertoire that I picked up from you months ago when we were doing a one-on-one is, and it really helps me, and so I got to put it out there, is sometimes when things don't make sense, you go, silly humans. And so I catch myself doing that, and it's like it erases all that drama.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Like, silly humans.
I like that.
Know?
I mean, I learned that one for my own sake, and it just and it's useful to other people as well, because yeah, it's the way that I overcame letting my my ego stop me. You know, because every time we notice when we glitch and aren't, you know, and do something that later on we realize was not great, then if that stops us, then we're stopped, you know? So that's what I learned, is like, oh, silly humans. See how we are.
What? Yeah, I love that. Well, there's something that makes me want to share with you. One of the things that I did more recently, and I did find it challenging because it's on that remark, I didn't have that silly humans phrase in my head all the time like I needed it, and that's why I kind of want to share with other people. But whenever I was at the last corporation doing some work, I really wanted, I really had a goal to start sharing some of this in the workplace, and it was like really exciting, and I would wake up just dreaming of all these crazy cool ideas of what to do, and then I would just not do it. And this would happen over and over, and I was just so confused. Have you ever had that happen? Just you go to work and you're like, I'm gonna do this
really
cool thing,
or you go ahead and you don't feel quite in alignment with doing it, but you do it. You push through and do it anyway, and it just falls clunk. That happens too, because it's like, and I think that yeah, absolutely, I've had that, and what I've learned is that. What I've come to feel to be true is that sometimes just knowing the thing yourself and holding space for the knowledge of that thing in that space has the power to influence that space without you even having to say it aloud. And then when you hold that space and then it influences the space, over time, the space can sometimes create little openings within which you can actually verbalize or, you know, take some kind of external action that plants it a little bit more deeply.
Actually, actually you're speaking my truth of what just happened. So over the last few months, I wasn't able to make myself do those grandiose ideas where I put on a whole ritual at work, or I was going to lead someone in a guided meditation and a group of people, maybe 30, just, you know, those kind of ideas. They were bold and I didn't do them. But what you said is it did create openings because I was having those ideas. So what I did do, so I should acknowledge that, is I decided to bring essential oils to work. So I had oils in my office, and it didn't take long before people started asking for oils to influence their mood or heal their pains. So then I would offer them freely when it asked. And then I evolved from that to, I added a little bowl of cards. I believe they were called Innerwise or something, but they're like a card you draw for your health. And they have everything from animal totems to box flower remedies, things I didn't know a lot about, and I thought it would be helpful. And it wasn't long before employees were walking by and drawing a card every day. and then managers were, and then some would want to talk about it and others would share. Yeah. It was like, okay. And before I knew it, I didn't realize. There were so many openings, I guess. But on more than one occasion, I had employees ask me to do one-on-one guided meditations to help with their stress and anxiety right in the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say,
yeah, and
those were,
you know,
my wins.
Holding the vision of what you imagine now, or as you sometimes think it would have been, a bigger, better thing. First of all, you've set the intention into the universe for that to occur at some point somewhere. With someone in some space. I mean, you've set that in motion by your intention. And then, so that'll happen. But it's not that would be better if it had happened, because the thing about it is that creating a space where people can open up a little bit, but where their fear won't flare up. Because as soon as somebody's fear flares up, then progress is delayed. And so you were creating it in such a way, you were holding the space for a big vision, which created openings. And within those openings, people were able to step into something different without their fear flaring up.
That's
so you did
pretty cool
exactly what needed to be done.
Cool.
Well, thank you. I received that.
Yeah,
I know that it's true.
Oh. And you do too.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I was like, I just got a big smile. Yeah, I received that. You know, it's because we just sometimes some of us set our expectations so high that we don't celebrate our successes as we go. And it's one of the things I caught myself doing this morning. It actually took about 15 or 20 minutes, and I wrote down the successes on my last project. And it was so uplifting. I mean, I was like, yeah, this is a simple technique more people should do. Just like right now, if you're listening to this, stop and write a list of all the things you've ever done or accomplished. Like, did you complete school? Did you give a presentation? You know, did you hug somebody? Whatever it is for you. But you ever write those lists down and you're having one of those fearful or down moments and look at that, you're like,
yeah,
dang,
isn't that nice?
I'm pretty
bad. And that can be very helpful. Very, very helpful to remember that. And yeah, so, but it's like, so the only silly human scenario in that whole thing, as far as I can see it, was just that the silly human part of not in the moment, which is also fine. Like, that's the whole thing with silly human. It's not a high stakes thing, but in the moment of that thing, you weren't allowing yourself to see what you were accomplishing in that moment of being at that place with people getting those cards. You were not allowing yourself to see what was, how deep and profound it was. However, if you had seen how deep and profound it was, maybe that wouldn't have been helpful at that time. You know, so it's, aren't we the funniest creatures, you know?
Well, it's definitely.
Yeah. Well, I love that you got to go hang out in New Zealand. That is so cool. And I think I kind of know, I think I have a little bit of an inkling anyway of what you mean when it, how things came full circle. Cause I've had some experiences where things came full circle and I know what that, I kind of have a sense of what that feels like, and there's no way to describe it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's beyond orgasmic, so it's just like a peacefulness that, I don't know, it's just like a, it's like quiet and stillness and activity, everything all at once, and it's not something I know how to describe, but I hope more people experience it, and maybe that's the joy we're seeking, and maybe we just have to sit and receive it sometimes, because that's pretty much what I did.
In 3 weeks, that must have been, what, did it seem longer?
Well, traveling with what started off as basically a group of strangers kind of does seem longer at first, right? Your first few days feel like they last forever. You're getting over jet lag. You're meeting people. You're just like, go, go, go. And then as you start reaching the end, you don't want it to be over. So I decided it wasn't over. And another awakening giant decided that they thought it'd be fun to extend our adventures, and we traveled to the southern part of the island.
Oh, cool. So Awakening Giant, was it like a Tony, was it like a Tony Robbins thing?
No, it's by Legacy Life Productions, and it's its own, it's going to be its own TV show that's eventually aired right now. The trailers were just released,
when you have it, give me the link and I'll put it on the, we'll put it everywhere, but I'd like to put it on my podcast too.
Absolutely. Cause they've actually went to a lot of different locations. They've been to, I believe it's Ecuador and, wow, now it's all escaping me. Peru. There's been to several different places, and in each place, you know, has its own unique energetics. And some of the individuals have went to multiple or all locations. So it's been really interesting to see it come to fruition. So it's going to be a multi-episode TV show, and they're going to pitch it to different networks and hopes to land on one of the big names that we all love to binge watch. But whether it lands there or only on our, we have our own app called, you know, it's called Awakening Giants TV. It's an app you can look up. And it'll be shared there for all, you know, for the world to take. But what the vision behind it was for it to be like a, what I call a layered win, a win, 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 win. The countries we visit win because we invest in the community, because we share our presentations, we do workshops, and we raise money, and we actually do hands-on service work in each country. But also to put out that reality TV could actually have a positive take, and that it could be normal people that, you know, actually are out there. And just because that, you know, we're out doing service work, it didn't have to be all about being martyrs. And we had fun, you know, we went on adventures, we did a little bit of it all. And that is why when I was selected to be a part of it, I was so excited, because it really felt true to me. Again, I feel like there's a little theme here. It was about mixing all the things together, and by putting them all together, it was greater. So it was really cool, because most each person there either was an entrepreneur or healer of some sort. So they shared their modality, their gifts with the group. And it was amazing how no matter what was going on, there was someone to turn to who could basically, more times than not, I saw the theme from this group of powerful women, mm-hmm. is they taught you
so cool.
And it was magic.
And yeah, there's not, that's no small thing. I don't think people get like how amazing that is, that that's what it's about, is learning to heal, people learning to heal themselves. Like that's a thing. That is a thing.
Absolutely. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. We all
avoid. It's a kind of a, people confuse but humility with self-slander, and they're totally different.
like people, oh, yeah, yeah. Like by thinking that we are not powerful enough to heal ourselves, not, you know, when I say heal ourselves, I don't mean heal me, Tracy, the ego, healing Tracy, the ego. You know what I mean? Or Tracy, the body or whatever. I really do think for real healing to happen, we are facilitating a universal healing, whether that's for ourselves or for someone else. But when people think that they're not good enough to heal themselves or to help facilitate healing in others, they think they think it's like, I'm too humble to think that. No, that's not humble. That's just self-slander. That's basically slandering the God that is you, right? That you, of which you're a part. But humility is really just, I've been thinking about that too. Like humility is an openness to receive. That's what humility really is. Humility is an openness to receive. I don't feel like I have enough juju in that topic right at this moment, but at some point I might do one on that. But
I love the opening because my brain and my body's going,
yeah, yes, cool.
Yes, yes. And because you may have heard it in my language, you know, that earlier it took me this to just more recently in my life to receive compliments, right? And it's something a lot of us reject. We don't allow it. And you might have heard me earlier.
There's a couple different reasons, and you and I think I've talked about this before, but why it's hard to take compliments sometimes. But part of it is a scarcity mentality. It's this idea that if I get a compliment or if I acknowledge something good about myself, I've somehow stolen that limited resource from the rest of the world. It's a scarcity. What's that?
Silly human.
Silly human. Yeah, I think it's partly a scarcity thing. It's like saying that if I have something, I've taken it from someone else, therefore I'm not allowed to have anything, including virtues or whatever, right? So it's a scarcity thing. Yeah. And it also, I think, maybe, I don't know if it's true for men as well, because I am not currently a man, but I know for women, it's definitely comes down to a fear of being rejected, because if you value yourself, you'll be rejected by other women, because of women will be jealous. And if they're jealous, then their fear is that then they'll punish you.
I follow that thinking, and thankful that I've released.
Absolutely, jealousy in general is always a scarcity thing, and I had to really do a lot of work on releasing jealousy. My jealousy issues. I had very powerful jealousy issues about one particular thing, and it was cool, badass, powerful women. And so, because it is my good fortune that my friends are cool, badass, powerful women, the fact that I was jealous of those friends created a way that I couldn't ever really completely surrender to being friends with them. And so that's so sad, you know. So I was actually, it's probably been about almost 20 years now since I finally get to the point where I released that. So now I can be friends with someone like you and not be threatened and not feel threatened.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad, because some of us don't realize that we, from a very early age in life, exude confidence. And what the rest of the world doesn't know is just because we exude it in public doesn't mean that's what's going on privately, right? Or in our own head. So we could have the very same thing going on.
No one would have found it obvious that I was experiencing jealousy. That's the thing. And I'm very outgoing and everything. So no one would have assumed it, but I could feel it inside, and it was yucky.
blah, the worst.
Right. It's just, I know, because you just get stuck in it. And I call it that.
Well, for me, it felt like being on fire.
Yeah.
It did. I felt like I was on fire, but I finally did. And I prayed and meditated and affirmed and did all kinds of different things. And I finally was able to finally get it all released at a breathwork ceremony with Jacqueline Small. And that was about 20 years ago now. And it hasn't come back. It released and it has never come back. Yay! I know.
That's awesome.
It is possible. Well, I want to one thing I want to do before we are done for this interview, and I hope you'll come back in the future. Will you come back and be on my show again? Awesome.
Absolutely.
What I'd like to know is what do you have? What are your ideas? You know, no pressure. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but what are your ideas right now and going forward? What is it that you're exploring and interested in, whether internal, external, however? What's the main thing you're exploring and thinking about right now in your life?
So I've had this long time super secret desire to write a song. I've shared the desire with a few people, but I've not really taken action to make it so. So when you asked, that's what popped up in my head, was to share that even though I do not play instruments or regularly sing,
yeah,
I want to write a song next.
Do it. Just do it. Just do it, Leslie. Okay, well, that's really cool. I love that. So what is it about creating a song or wanting to write a song that inspires you? And I notice you have the universal is one of the things that, is that yours or is that something you just post on a lot?
So, yeah, it is actually.
Go ahead, talk about universal. Go ahead. That's how I say it, like that, because it's like got little dashes. It's super cool.
Well,
talk about that a little bit.
It is. It's you and I, verse, V-E-R-S-E, and then all, A-L-L. And it came to me through a download in the Akashic Records as one song for all. And I was asking for clarity on my purpose in life. And I kept getting back all these answers that were like peace and harmony and oneness. And I was kind of rejecting it. I was kind of like annoyed. Right?
It's hard. Yeah, I've had that kind of experience before. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm like, where's the jet ski? Where's the dirt bike?
Where's the truck and the beer?
So pretty quickly, I just jumped online. Yeah, I got to go camping. So I jumped online and I decided to act in faith, which is one of the things I found is really important, because when you act in faith and it seems like it keeps moving. And I bought two domains that basically stand for universal. I didn't know which way to get it, dashes or not, you know. Bought the two domains, and I pretty quickly, I don't remember how long it took me to finally do each step, but I made a Facebook group, and I started sharing something that kind of went on and off in my life and didn't know what was happening, and I was finally acknowledging. And often when I wake up in the morning, I hear, not audibly, just in my head, I can hear a lyric from a song. Sometimes I know the song, but most of the time, it's not like I'm a person who knows the name of the band. I'm not a person who's really good with like famous people's names and seeing them and connecting all the dots. So what I would do is I would look up just that lyric. I'd find the song. Sometimes I'd know what it was. Sometimes I didn't. And I realized that songs, they're frequency, right? They're energetic, just like everything else. And I was like, hey, wait, songs are harmony. And I start laughing. Oh, I can bring peace and harmony through my life and through other people's lives through songs. And the more I invited it in and allowed it and kept an opening for it, I often get a message every day of a song lyric. So a lot of times I just post it in the morning when I receive it. And I've taken breaks a couple times to see what the differences are and hiatuses. And I can tell you, I feel more connected when I'm doing it. So either something I've stumbled across through social media or someone shared with me is posted sometimes, but more times than not, I woke up.
Wow.
And it's almost like at the end of my dream and at the beginning of my day, a lyric. And the lyrics have a little
bit cool.
of everything, because oftentimes they seem to set the
that's
tone
so
for
cool.
the day. Imagine that, pun on words. And I've always been fascinated with songs and lyrics. And one of the things I also was fascinated with is how many times I had the lyrics wrong. And so sometimes I've even fallen in love with my lyrics more than the original songwriters. So this truly is, I'm glad you asked, this is my connection to the desire to write a song, because I do believe they're powerful. They're an energetic tool. They go on and on and on and on. And you know, they're on a different dimension. And so us humans really like them. I mean, everybody you know now has a phone loaded with music and earbuds in their ears. But it started to have more meaning to me because I believe it. I write a lot of documents. So words mean a lot to me in linguistics. And so it was this beautiful entwining of words, of actual tones, mm-hmm. of the humans who put them all together, and then the videos that other people help create, and then the viral message and the other meanings people put the song. And to me, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And that's when I started seeing the universal aspect of where unity, a song, something as simple as a song can like connect us all together. I mean,
yeah,
in my generation, we grew up and it was, we are the world, we are the children, right? And the whole world was being peaceful together. So my message that kept saying peace and harmony as oneness didn't feel as fluffy, and it felt a little more like something I could put my dabble in. So I have a Facebook group. It's called Universal. I encourage other people to post songs they like, or if they have harmonies they want to post or lyrics they want to share, anything harmonic that they want to share, I encourage it. And it's interesting because I've gotten feedback, and there's some people, there's a gentleman who found me from a whole other country, and he tells me that he has no access to a lot of songs. I guess certain websites are blocked in other countries.
Oh my God, that's
and
so cool.
He looks forward for one of these to show up so he can hear a song every day. And like, I now know him. Yeah, and then he sends pictures because he also grew up, he was in one of the military service and ended up staying, you know, marrying and staying. And he shows pictures of old dirt bikes that he still rides because that's how they travel in that, in his on his island. And so he shows his connection to me
oh
with my
God,
dirt biking
so cool.
and my music and
awesome.
Shares that
well,
across
okay, so,
the world.
So
right?
if you, so I'd like to, if it's okay with you, I'll put the link to that into the podcast description for this. Are there any other websites or any other things that you have that you'd be willing to share so people could find more about you, and if they're interested in possibly, you know, a consultation from you or a reading from you, how could they do that?
Pretty simply, it's leslieatkinson.com, and I'll definitely give you my booking link. It sounds like we've overloaded your audience with several links. We've got everything from Awakening Giants to Universal Facebook group and even
awesome.
The Akashic Readings
okay.
you can book
well,
me
this
for.
Has
so
been
I think we got it all covered.
So awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and being part of this. And I'm excited to get to talk to you again in the very near future, I hope. Okay, thanks, Leslie.
Sounds great. See you soon.
Thank you. So again, thank you so much to the listeners.
Thank
you so much for being part of the conversation as we all begin our journey learning about each other and what kind of shards we are and how to connect to all the other great, amazing, mystical shards of consciousness. So see you next time. Bye-bye.